In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and angels came and ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have heard from the Gospel of Mark, from the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And so these last few weeks we've journeyed a little into Mark, and now we go back to the beginning. And the reason we go back is because this is the image that takes us into our Lenten journey. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and as he comes up, he is compelled to go to the wilderness. It is Lent. And you can see the signs of Lent here when you look at the color purple, the royal color, as we change our paraments in the church year. Now, Lent is an ancient tradition in the church, and for a very long time, it was not very much a part of the Protestant tradition. In fact, when I grew up, we talked about Lent a little bit, but we didn't really observe Lent. But this ancient tradition has actually been reclaimed by the Protestant Church as a beautiful and important season of the church. Traditionally, when the church began Lent years ago, it was for people who were entering into baptism. They would go through a long period of catechism. But Lent included fasting and self-denial and penitence. It included conversion and the striving for living a simple life. Now, most of us, when I grew up in Cleveland, though I was Protestant, all my friends were Catholic, and they always gave something up, and it was almost always sugar. They had to give up meat on Fridays, but sugar was the big thing. So I grew up with an understanding, as many of us probably have, that Lent is a time of giving up things. But we need to think about Lent as springtime. The word Lent, Lenten, is actually a Germanic word that means springtime. So Lent in some ways is a spiritual spring cleaning, a time for taking a spiritual inventory and then cleaning out those things that hinder our relationship with God and our service to God. Now, Lent begins with a symbol of repentance. And we start Ash Wednesday with the ashes on our forehead. Another symbol that has been reclaimed by the Protestant Church, which I think is beautiful and wonderful. I will often tell you that during the Reformation, we threw some of the baby out with the bathwater. And we continually look again at some of the beautiful traditions that were part of our church in the early years. So we begin with the ashes, and the ashes are mixed with oil and put on the forehead, and we use the traditional words, "From dust you have come, till dust you shall return." Now, as the church is divided up into seasons, there's many of us who were not raised with a liturgical year. We don't know the seasons of the church, and so sharing with you now that we have entered a new one. We have finished the Sundays after Epiphany, and now we've moved into Lent. And Lent takes us all the way through Holy Week, from Maundy Thursday and Good Friday to Holy Saturday, until we reach the season of Easter. So this is a time when, like Jesus, we enter the wilderness. This is the season to turn. Now, some of you might be old enough to remember the bird song. There is a season for everything under heaven. Turn. It is a song, of course, that is based on a biblical text from Ecclesiastes. There is a sign and a purpose under heaven for everything. And we are entering a season that is very different in our culture than all the other seasons. You know, at Christmas, we are asked to turn towards Bethlehem, towards the star, towards what is good, towards the light. And all around us, we see signs of it. The entire culture takes on that turning towards Bethlehem. Everywhere, we see Christmas. And we're asked to celebrate God's revelation to us in some form that it seems a miracle that we could learn about God from a child. But Lenten journeys are not quite the same, because now we're being asked to turn towards Jerusalem. And you won't see anything in the malls or a sign of Lent anywhere. It is not something that we easily embrace. There is no celebration. We are being asked to turn towards Jerusalem for a very different reason. Now it is to turn towards the darkness and the stillness. It is a time of sacrifice. It is a time of repentance, a word that is almost completely gone from our culture. It is a time of spiritual growth. And I can understand why we don't easily embrace that, and there isn't much out there that would remind us. We get all the way a bit. If you go into the grocery stores, the Easter candy is out. And so the rabbit who delivers the chocolate eggs. Everywhere there are signs of Easter. But it's hard to get to Easter without walking through the wilderness. The wanderings of Jesus are told to us so sparsely in this story. Mark's account, which is the first account we have of the Lenten story, is very sparse. The other stories have much more details about what happened to Jesus in the desert. Mark, on the other hand, keeps it a secret, like he keeps all things secret, and says, Jesus was there. He was tempted. He was ministered to. He was there with the wild beasts. That's all we know. It is like a private conversation between Jesus and God. And I think that for me, when I read it, I would like to know more. I would like Jesus to tell me how he negotiated 40 days in the desert. But we really don't have the answer to that question. But what the story does tell us is that Jesus alone had a vision when he came out of the water, and that Jesus alone felt compelled and driven into the desert, in which he acquired a unique sense of his God-given identity. And that affirmation in the place, God's eyes, was followed by an overwhelming sense of God driving him into the desert. And there he had some sort of an arduous spiritual struggle that we are supposed to embrace. And I have no idea what I should tell you that looks like for you. But I do know that over the years I have learned from this time more about myself and about God than I have when I was looking towards Bethlehem. That learning about ourselves and what our identity is, our God-given unique identity, definitely requires the wilderness. See, Jesus turned around from his former life, and he turned toward God to claim this new identity. We call turning around repentance. That's what the word means, to turn around. But this kind of repentance that Jesus was able to do means no less than death. Death to old ways. Death that signaled that his former life was over. Not dying only to sin, but to all the assumptions and entanglements and obligations of his former life as a citizen of Galilee. He came out of the desert a different person. His turning towards the desert brings him closer to Jerusalem, and these tasks that he feels chosen to do. And I say chosen because in my heart of hearts, in my belief, and we can all have an interesting, good theological discussion about this, it was a choice. It was not magic. It was suffering for the sake of the common good, for the welfare of all, for the kingdom of God. A choice was made. Because if it wasn't choice, then who are we mirroring? Who are we following? We're following the one who actually made a decision to follow God into this new identity. And it does teach us that a vocational life is both amazing and dangerous. Jesus comes out of the Jordan and enters the wilderness with this new identity. And there he goes and he sorts things out for himself with God's help. He starts wrestling with all the options he has for his life, one of which would be, no, I'm going home. This is too hard. He went there and he figured out who his companions on the journey were going to be. He discerned many things in those times when he was alone with his God. Lent is our time to discern many things, to consciously turn away from those things that keep us so earthbound. Lent gives us pause and helps us turn toward God with our own questions of our God-given identity. Am I becoming the person I want to be? Or am I letting things slide? Am I giving way to the comfortable and the popular and the safe? Do I stand for something that adds to God's dream for the world? Turning towards Jerusalem in the season of Lent is not easy, nor is it comfortable. But turning towards Jerusalem promises that there is hope and new life when we arrive. Lent is about hope. It isn't just about being discouraged and figuring out if we can make it 40 days without a Snickers bar, though that is hard. It's about hope. We know how the story ends, and yet we enter all these doubtful, dark times as if we don't know how the story ends. And that is because life is uncertain, isn't it, Kathy? Life is uncertain. We are in very uncertain times. It seems so coincidental to me that we, as an entire nation and as a community throughout the world, are walking on quicksand right now. And isn't that what Lent is about? To walk without sure footing, but to know that at the other end there is something that waits. That there is nothing that can stop new life from being created in any single one of us. It simply will not happen. God will always prevail. Goodness will always be there. Hope will be there. Resurrection will be there. But we do have to go through that still dark place. To know who we truly are, You know, we are going to talk a lot about turning during Lent. And this morning I had the image of a lathe turning, and a piece of wood suddenly becoming something beautiful and useful, but not without lots of the wood being sanded away. Isn't that our lives? We take our lives and we hope that God, in that turning around, will make us new creatures, more beautiful, more useful. Lent is a promise that the one to whom we turn is the one who has done this before. He has already figured out what it means to create a new identity. That it was because he embraced that identity that we are here. Jesus repented of his old life. He turned away from his former self, and he turned into the person that God called him to be. Where are you being called? What would happen if you entered this season intentionally asking God to help you with your life? There is a season and a purpose for everything under heaven. What is yours? Amen.